ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम 8th कैंटो चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट 21 20 एंड 21। एकांतिनो यस्य न कंचनार्थम् वांछन्ति ये वै भगवत प्रपन्ना अति अद्भुतं तच्चरितं सुमंगलम् गायन्त आनंद समुद्र मग्ना। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस से भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord worship him in full surrender and always hear and chant about his activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. Thus, they always merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. I, however, am in danger. Thus, I pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally existing, who is invisible, who is the Lord of all great personalities such as Brahma, and who is available only by transcendental bhakti yoga. Being extremely subtle, he is beyond the reach of my senses and transcendental to all external realization. He is unlimited, he is the original cause, and he is completely full in everything. I offer my obeisances unto him. Purport. अन्याभिलाषित शून्यम ज्ञान कर्मादि अनावृतम अनुकूल्येन कृष्णानु शीलनम भक्तिरुत्तमम। वन शुड रेंडर ट्रांसेंडेंटल लविंग सर्विस टू द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड कृष्ण फेवरेबली एंड विदाउट डिजायर फॉर मटेरियल प्रॉफिट और गेन थ्रू फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटीज और फिलोसॉफिकल स्पेकुलेशन। दैट इज कॉल्ड प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस। अनअलॉयड डिवोटीज हैव नथिंग टू आस्क फ्रॉम द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड। But Gajendra, the king of elephants, was circumstantially asking for an immediate benediction because he had no other way to be rescued. Sometimes when there is no alternative, a pure devotee being fully dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord prays for some benediction. But in such prayer, there is also a regret. One who always hears and chants about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord is always situated on a platform on which he has nothing to ask in terms of material benefits. Unless one is completely pure devotee, one cannot enjoy the transcendental bliss derived from chanting and dancing in ecstasy of the Sankirtan movement. Such ecstasy is not possible for an ordinary devotee. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us how one can enjoy transcendental bliss simply by chanting, hearing and dancing in ecstasy. This is Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, the king of elephants, Gajendra, said, Adhyatmika Yoga Gamyam, indicating that unless one is situated on this transcendental platform, one cannot approach the Supreme Lord. The benediction of being able to approach the Lord can be achieved after many, many births. Yet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has awarded this benediction to everyone, even to the fallen souls who have no heritage of anything in spiritual life. That is actually been seen in the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, the path of Bhakti Yoga is spotless process by which to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktaham ekaya grahaya. Only through devotional service can one approach the Supreme Lord. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, text 1, Maya asakta mana partha yogam yunjan madashraya asamsam samagrammam yad jnanashi tat shrunu. Now hear, O son of Pritha Arjun, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Simply by being attached to Krishna consciousness and by thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna constantly, one can fully understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead without a doubt. Blessings of all the Vaishnava devotees. Before I can make an attempt to speak on this beautiful topic, prayers of Gajendra. So here, Gajendra is offering a series of prayers very wonderful prayers to be meditated upon. So the background, everyone knows, he is caught up by the crocodile. And in such difficult situation, he is offering such beautiful prayers. So how can one offer such beautiful prayers in such a difficult situation? It's only because Gajendra, in his previous life, he was a devotee of Lord Vishnu, and he had learned a prayer which he starts offering. At the initial start of this chapter, he offers that first prayer. Neha abhikarma nasasri pratyayana vidyate. So this process of devotional service is a continuous process. It's not that Gajendra became a devotee in this life. He was already a devotee. Though in a body of an elephant, he remembered, because he was sincere. In one of the purports, Prabhupada writes that he knew that he was embodied. A person can take shelter of the Lord only when he knows that a person who is not embodied can save him. So because he was a devotee of the Lord, he knew that he was embodied, and he was not blaming the situation. Generally, people blame the situation, or they put blame on someone else, person, or the circumstance or situation. So he was not blaming anyone for that situation, which he was put in such a dangerous situation. He knew that it was by will of providence. And therefore, he thought, in the previous chapter, it is said that he thought for some time, and then he arrived at the decision that he has to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. So Prabhupada writes that good intelligence means becoming Krishna conscious. And therefore, after considerable thought, he intelligently arrived to this decision of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And therefore, he could offer such wonderful prayers. In one of the prayers, Gajendra is praying that Namo Atma Pradipaya. He is praying to the Lord that Atma Pradipa. Lord is known as Atma Pradipa, means he who is self-effulgent, who enlightens all the living entities. So he enlightened, because he was sincere, he enlightened him within the heart. Dadami Buddhi Yogamtam. He gave such a beautiful intelligence that he could offer such beautiful prayers. So we can see that similarly, we are also caught in this cycle of birth, old age, disease and death. Death can come at any moment. And therefore, in one of the purports, Prabhupada writes that everyone should fear death. Unless one is fearful of death, one cannot take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And the best course is to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That is the ultimate understanding of the goal of life. That is pure devotional service. And in start of this purport, the definition of pure devotional service is given. Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. That is pure devotional service. Without any desire. So, practically all of the living entities, they're all contaminated. They're conditioned. So, the process of decontamination, purification is the devotional service of the Lord. Just like the example is given of gold and silver. The original luster is of gold and silver is shining. Similarly, the original luster of living entity is also Anandamaya Vyasat. But because it is contaminated, we are not experiencing that happiness or pleasure. And just as the gold and silver, they are purified not just by washing, but by when they come in contact with fire, it is purified. So it is said that just by coming in contact with the fire of devotional service, one can get purified and attain the topmost pleasure by serving the lotus feet of the Lord. So here in this purport, so many lessons can be learned. So here Prabhupada writes that the unalloyed devotees have nothing to ask. But because Gajendra was circumstantially in a difficult situation, he asked for some benediction. And in the purport it is said that pure devotees never ask. They are fully dependent on the mercy of the Lord. But sometimes they ask some benediction. But that also is with a regret. So when can one come to a stage when he doesn't ask anything from the Lord? Anyabhilashatashunyam. Ashlishlava padartham pinashtam. He doesn't want anything for his own self. So in the purport, it is stated that one who hears and chants the transcendental pastimes of the Lord is always situated on the transcendental platform, on which he has nothing to ask in terms of material benedictions. And therefore, the process is very much simplified in Kali Yuga by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just by chanting, dancing and feasting, one can be situated on that platform where one can experience the Supreme Lord. And therefore, it is said, Adhyatmika Yoga Gamyam, that is Bhakti Yoga, which is a spotless process where you can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are some analogies we will see, try to understand that this process of decontamination is because we have to undergo this process because of so many material desires in our mind. Ichha dvesha samuttena. The whole existence, our very existence is because of material desires. Desire to enjoy separately from the Lord. So it is said that just like a child gets fully satisfied when it comes to the lap of the mother, similarly, all our material desires will be completely vanquished or destroyed as we come in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj, initially, he had so many material desires. He went to the forest and performed tapasya. Why? He wanted a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma. But when he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was completely purified. And when Lord Vishnu asked him, what do you want? So he said, I do not want anything, any material benediction. I am completely satisfied. So that is the power of associating with the Lord. And the process in this particular age is by chanting and hearing. We can be directly in touch with the Lord. So whether one has material desires or one doesn't have material desires, one has to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another analogy is given in our Shastra, in Srimad Bhagavatam, is that the material desires are compared to a prison. A prisoner may see some light from the bars, from the other side of the window, but still he remains captive inside the prison. So though one may understand that he is not the body, he is soul. And one step ahead, he may understand that Paramatma is also situated in the heart. But still, that is not sufficient. One has to undergo a specific process to eliminate the material existence, the cause of material existence, that is material desire. And this process is same, chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. Another analogy Bhaktisansara Thakur gives, which yesterday I found out in 11th canto, very nice analogy. Bhaktisansara Thakur says that, in that analogy, he gives the analogy of an elephant. He says, just like an elephant who is maddened by sex desire, lust, but as it stands in the cooling water of Ganges, the lust in his heart is completely extinguished. And the elephant becomes pacified. So practically all living entities, conditioned souls, are afflicted by kama and lobha, material desires. So just by coming in contact with the process of chanting and hearing, one can be completely pacified. So the whole process of devotional service is of decontamination, purification. So whether one has desire or material desires or whether he is free from that desires, one has to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because once you come in contact with the devotional service of the Lord, one gets purified. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness or Bhakti Yoga. So in this section of 8th canto, In chapter 16, executing Payavrata process of worship, Kashyap Muni is advising Aditi that to worship Krishna even though one has mortal desires. Sa vidasyati te kaman hari dina anukampana amoga bhagavad bhaktir netareti matir mama. The supreme personality of Godhead is very merciful to the poor and will fulfill all your desires for devotional service. For devotional service unto him is infallible. Any other method other than devotional service is useless. That is my opinion. So Kashyap Muni is advising Aditi. So in this section, Aditi, she is aggrieved because the demigods were not visible in the heavenly kingdom, been afraid of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj had already conquered all the heavenly planets. And therefore, all the demigods had left. Therefore, out of concern, Aditi was aggrieved and she was distressed. And therefore, she wanted a good fortune for her sons. Therefore, Kashyap Muni instructed Aditi in the science of self-realization and how to be unaffected by material desires. But this did not satisfy her. So ultimately, he gave this instruction that worship Lord Krishna, Janardhan, Vasudev. That only by worshipping Vasudev, you will be satisfied. So it is said in that purport, it is said that in other words, regardless whether he is a karmi, jnani or yogi or bhakta, he should invariably take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishaya sukha amruta chhadi vishaya maga ei bada murkha ami vidna ei murkha vishaya kena diba swacharnamrit diye vishaya swacharnamrit diye vishaya bhulaiba. Krishna says that if one engages in my transcendental loving service but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very much foolish. Indeed, he is like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison. Krishna kahe ame bhaje mage vishaya sukha amruta chhadi vishaya mage ehi bada murkha. So he is a person who has material desires and still he worships. That is like a person who gives ambrosia, nectar, to drink poison. So here further it is said that since I am intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Ami vidna ehi murkha vishaya kena diva. Why I should give him material enjoyment? Indeed, I shall induce him to take nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusionary temporary enjoyment. So if a devotee maintains some material desire and at the same time, if he is sincere and he sincerely desires to engage in devotional service of the Lord, then Krishna will purify him and he will award him pure devotional service. And reverse of it, otherwise, if one takes to Krishna's devotional service but still has material desires to fulfill, he will become free of material desires as Dhruva Maharaj did, but it takes long time. And that's why we have to understand that the nature of material desires, it's very dangerous. Unless we don't know the nature of material desires, we cannot give it up. The whole process of bhakti yoga is of purification, but we should pray to the Lord that all our material desires be completely destroyed. So, whether we have desires or not, we can see from this example of Kashyap Muni and Aditi that we have to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But sincerely desire that these material desires will be completely eliminated. We may have desire, Prabhupada writes in one of the purport, desiring will never go. Desires will be there till the last moment. But at heart, we should be very sincere and pray to the Lord that all the material desires will be destroyed. So Prahlad Maharaj, another example, we can see that how the Lord reciprocates. In the 7th canto, where Prahlad Maharaj is offering beautiful prayers to Lord Narasimhadev, he is saying that the Lord reciprocates according to the service which is rendered to him. To the extent one is surrendered to the Lord, to that extent, Lord fulfills one's desire. Sam sevaya surataror ivate prasada. Unlike an ordinary living entity, my lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, the favorable and the unfavorable, because for you there is no conception of higher and lower. Nonetheless, you offer your benedictions according to the level of one's service, exactly as a desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desires, and makes no distinction between the lower and higher. And therefore, we have to understand the whole process from these prayers, from Prahlad Maharaj's prayers and Gajendra's prayers, that we have to surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord. Gajendra tried all help from his relatives, his co-wives and other elephants, his associates, everyone. No one helped him. So ultimately, he came to the conclusion that he has to take shelter of the Lord and surrender unto him. So unless we don't surrender to the Lord, there is no hope for us. We cannot become fearless unless we take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And further, when Prahlad Maharaj pacified Lord Narasingadev by offering these beautiful prayers, Narasingadev Bhagwan, he says to Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Bhadra Bhadram Te Prito Aham Te Surottama Varam Runi Swabhivatmatam Kamo Pura Asmi Aham Nuranam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of Asuras, all God, good fortune unto you. I am very pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill all desires of all living entities, and therefore you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled. So Lord is asking him that you can ask any benediction. All your desires will be fulfilled. Further, the Lord is saying, it's not that only I will fulfill your desire. You may ask for someone else. That desire also will be fulfilled. And therefore, further, Narad Muni is saying that because Prahlad Maharaj was a pure devotee of the Lord and he had no material desires, he didn't fall into the trap of Lord's offering benedictions to him. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying that in the next chapter, after the prayers which are offered by Prahlad Maharaj, it is said that all these benedictions, Lord, you are offering to me, they are actually obstacles in devotional service. So he says further that, kindly do not attempt me with these illusions. He's praying to Narasingha Bhagwan that you kindly don't tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from material life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter at your lotus feet. And therefore, he prays, Prahlad Maharaj is praying that all my material desires should be destroyed. He is asking for the benediction that, please, Lord, all my material desires should be destroyed. So real desirelessness, in Bhagavad Gita also it is said in second chapter, that is to give up material desires. Desires will always be there. But giving up material desires and having spiritual desires is real desirelessness. Because as soon as one has material desires, in one of the Parbat Prabhupada says, one's mind, senses, intelligence, all, they cannot be used in a proper way. And one falls back into the cycle of birth, old age, disease and death. And therefore, all these desires should be purified. One may have ambitions or desires, but now he should have spiritual ambitions or spiritual desires to please the Lord. And therefore, in that continuation, even Lord Brahma, after Prahlad Maharaj is enthroned and given the kingdom, Lord Brahma is saying that, my dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the Supreme Soul. If one meditates upon your transcendental body, you naturally protect him from all sources of fear, even the imminent danger of death. So practically everyone has to die, even devotee has to die. But Lord protects us even from death. Just like Prahlad Maharaj was saved every time. He was tortured by Hiranyakashipu. And so many attempts were made to kill him. But every time he was protected. Similarly, Gajendra also, he was caught up by the crocodile, but Lord protected him. So that is the result of performing devotional service, that one is protected. And one who is not performing devotional service, then that is the greatest loss. So here we can see that the whole process of Bhakti Yoga, actually it means taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. In the purport, Prabhupada writes that simply by being attached to Krishna consciousness and by thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, one can fully understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead without a doubt. So, one has to understand that what are the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord. Just by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, one can perfect one's life. So we will see why in Shastra it is said that the lotus feet of the Lord. Here also the word to word meaning Bhagavat Prapanna. Vanchanti evai Bhagavat Prapanna. Bhagavat Prapanna, Prabhupada translates, fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. The lotus feet of the Lord is so much glorified in the Shastra. So in one of the purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that lotus feet, they symbolize shelter. And one has to take in a literal sense, it's not something imaginary. Because Lord's body is transcendental, Satchidananda Vigraha. The lotus feet symbolize shelter. And therefore, we have to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Angani asya sakalendra vritti manti, it is said in Brahma Samhita. The lotus feet of the Lord or any limb of the Lord, they are the plenary representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And worshipping them, one immediately is placed in the ocean of transcendental bliss. That's what here it is said. The unalloyed devotees, they are always chanting and hearing the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord. And therefore, they are always situated in the transcendental bliss. So, one who takes shelter of the Lord, so lotus feet, he is immediately placed on a transcendental platform. And therefore, he becomes unaffected by the material desires. So, there are so many comparisons and so many glorification about the lotus feet of the Lord. We'll just try to see some of them. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, where Prachedas are offering prayers to the Lord. Here, in that prayers, they are comparing the lotus feet of the Lord to Parijat tree. Parijate anjasa labde sarango anyan na sevate tad angri moolam asadya sakshat kim kim vrinimahi. Sarango is a bee. When a bee approaches the Parijat tree, it gets unlimited supplies of honey. There is no need to go to any another tree. And similarly, when a devotee is actually engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet, his engagement in itself is so perfect that there is no need to ask for any further benediction. So, this analogy is given, comparison with Parijat tree, that it's desire fulfilling. The Parijat tree is of the tree of the spiritual world and it is known as Kalpavruksha. So if we have a desire to serve the Lord, if we are sincerely executing the process of devotional service, then all our spiritual desires will be fulfilled and our material desires will be completely destroyed or vanquished. That is the glory of the taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Another analogy which is given is of compared to boats. The lotus feet of the Lord are compared to boats. In fourth canto, where Prithu Maharaj is meeting with the Kumaras recommend the king that they take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Just as one takes shelter of a good boat to cross the ocean. So here it is said, the ocean of Nisance is very difficult to cross because it is infested with many dangerous sharks. So there are various dangerous elements in our life also. And the greatest dangerous elements for a sadhaka is a material desire. And they are compared to sharks. And what can shark do to an insignificant living entity like us? Can completely devour. So if we don't take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are compared to the boat, then we will be completely devoured by the material desires which are compared to sharks. The ocean of Nisans is very difficult to cross because it is infested with many dangerous sharks. Although those who are non-devotees undergo severe austerities and penances to cross the ocean, we simply recommend that you simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like boats for crossing the ocean. Although the ocean is difficult to cross, by taking shelter of lotus feet, you will overcome all dangers. So it is said in this particular translation that there are non-devotees who take shelter of karma, jnana and yoga, but there is great deal of trouble in that process. And that's why here it is said bhakti yoga is a very simple process, spotless process to approach Lord, to understand God. Though they may reach the Lord, but the process itself is so troublesome and there is no guarantee that they may reach. It may take long time. But the process of bhakti yoga is so simple that you chant, hear and take prasad. That is the process by which you can attain the lotus feet of the Lord. Another analogy which is given in Shastra is of the lotus feet of the Lord are compared to umbrella. Very beautiful analogies to be meditated upon. And in 11th canto it is said, Tapatrena abhihatasya ghore santapya manuscha bhavan dhvan nisha paschami nanyat charanam tavangri dvandva tapatrad amruta bhivarshat. Here Uddhava is saying, my dear Lord, for one who has been tormented on the terrible path of birth and death and is constantly overwhelmed by the threefold miseries, I do not see any possible shelter other than your two lotus feet, which are like refreshing umbrella that pours down shower of delicious nectar. So here in that purport, Prabhupada writes that when the incarnation of Lord Prithu Maharaj was crowned, the demigod Vayu presented him with an umbrella that constantly sprinkled fine particles of water. And the Lord's lotus feet are similarly compared here to wonderful umbrella that produce a constant shower of delicious nectar, the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Here, the two words are very important. Abhihatasya. Tapatrayana abhihatasya ghore. That indicates that one who is defeated on all sides by the onslaught of material nature. One is practically defeated in all circumstances. If we try to make our situations comfortable, we keep on trying, but ultimately we are defeated. Abhihatasya, that we are completely defeated. Gajendra was completely defeated. He was trying on his own to save himself. But unless and until he took shelter of the umbrella of the lotus feet of the Lord, he was not saved. So another word in this shloka is Amruta Abhivarshat, indicates a downpour of nectar. Abhivarshat, rains, downpour of nectar that eliminates all the problems of material existence. So by our intelligence, we should look beyond the dull material body. And Prabhupada writes in that purport that we have to look beyond the maya body and the nonsensical material mind to observe the unlimited shower of blissful nectar from the lotus feet of the Lord. Then our real good fortune will begin. So that is the glory of the Lord, that the Lord's lotus feet are compared to a refreshing umbrella. And in this connection, also in the third canto, where Vidura is asking so many questions to Maitreya Muni regarding directions for material happiness, how we can perform bhakti yoga, and about incarnations of the Lord, Maitreya is explaining the different demigods who are in charge of various material elements. And these demigods are praying to the Supreme Lord. They are also surrendered to the Lord, and they know that the situation cannot be handled by their own efforts. So they are praying to, the demigods are praying, O Lord, your lotus feet are like umbrella for the surrendered souls, protecting them from all miseries of material existence. So all the sages take shelter of the umbrella, because of which all the miseries of life are thrown off. And therefore we offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet. So practically these lotus feet of the Lord are taken shelter by practically not only devotees, even the great demigods, they take shelter of the Lord. So we have to understand that demigods are authorized agents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when they are taking the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what to say of insignificant souls like us? There is no other option. There is no other way to save ourselves from the greatest danger. We have to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So these are some of the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord. And another glory is the glorification goes. There are so many analogies and so many glorification in Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll see another few of these glorifications. The Lord's lotus feet, they reveals Lord's kindness. So in third canto, where Jay and Vijay are cursed by the four Kumaras because been not allowed to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this particular pastime, Prabhupada writes in one of the purports in that section that the whole trouble, whole between the conversation going on between the Kumaras and Jay and Vijay, and the Kumaras cursing the two doorkeepers, it was because the Lord understood, because the Kumaras didn't get darshan of my lotus feet. The whole issue is because they didn't get darshan of the lotus feet of the Lord. That's why the whole cursing took place. But in that purport it is said, to commit offense is the greatest wrong. But even in Vaikuntha, sometimes an offense is created by some resident, but there the Lord protects him from that offense. That is the glory. So Jay Vijay, they participated in Lord's pastime in three births. But ultimately they went back after performing the pastime with the Lord. So the Lord is so merciful that even if there is some impediment for the devotee, he himself manages matters in such a way that a devotee is not bereft of having audience of it at his lotus feet. Such is the merciful behavior of the Lord, that the Lord Vishnu came along with Goddess of Fortune. Generally, Goddess of Fortune is not seen by anyone else. But here, Goddess of Fortune, in that purport, Prabhupada writes that Lord came with the Goddess of Fortune. Another instance in that purport, Prabhupada writes, is of Srila Haridas Thakur. Because Haridas Thakur was born in a Mohammedan family, and because of what of humility, he could not, he was not allowed to enter the Jagannath temple. So Lord himself came to take his association. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came every day and giving Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath. So the Lord's lotus feet reveal Lord's kindness. So very nice, one of the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord. Then Lord's lotus feet, in 11th canto, they are compared to Dhumaketu, comet. Or Prabhupada writes in, translates as a blazing fire. So practically, everyone is afflicted by innumerable material desires, which can only be destroyed by the blazing fire, Dhumaketu. So Lord's lotus, taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet will help us to destroy all the material desires. Then the Lord's lotus feet are also considered as heroic. They perform such marvelous tasks. Uru Vikrama Angri, in 8th canto, in this Lord's pastime, Lord Vamandev, he performed this beautiful pastime. He asked for three steps. So he extended his beautiful toe, Lord Vamandev, and he pierced the universal shell, and the Ganges started flowing. So such is the glory, the Lord's lotus feet, they have performed such wonderful acts, marvelous acts. Another beautiful pastime which Krishna performed is when he entered Mathura to challenge Kamsa. He was attacked by the elephant, giant elephant. What is his name? Kualapida. So when he was attacked, the Lord kicked him actually, and he killed that. So such is the glories of the Lord's lotus feet. So unless and until one doesn't take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, there is no hope to be fearless. Gajendra was fearing death. So Prabhupada writes that one has to be fearful. If we are fearful, then only we can take shelter. And one more last analogy we will see about the lotus feet of the Lord. That lotus feet of the Lord are compared to thunderbolt. In third canto, the Kapila's instructions on devotional service is explaining, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the blessed Lord Shiva becomes all the more blessed by bearing on his head the holy water of the Ganges, which has its source in the water that washed the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord's lotus feet act like thunderbolts hurled to shatter the mountain of sin stored in the mind of meditating devotee. One should therefore meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time. So practically, all of us, the mind is fully saturated with material desires. It's like a big mountain of material desires within our heart, within our mind. So such mountain can only be shattered by a thunderbolt. There is no other weapon by which it can be shattered to pieces. So that's why it is said that the lotus, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, they will act like thunderbolt. And all the material desires in the heart, which are like a big mountain, can be completely destroyed. And they will be destroyed, cut into pieces. Actually, they can be turned into ashes, just like it is compared that it is like a fire. So thunderbolt also, the whole material desires will be completely vanquished and destroyed. So such are the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord. And therefore, in the end of this purport, Prabhupada writes that one has to constantly think of the lotus feet of the Lord. That is what Bhakti Yoga is all about. By thinking of the lotus feet of Lord constantly, one can fully understand the personality of Godhead without a doubt. That's what all unalloyed devotees of the Lord are engaged in. Therefore, translation we will read once again to conclude. Unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord, worship Him in full surrender, and always hear and chant about His activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. Thus, they always emerge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. I, however, am in danger. Thus, I pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally existing, who is invisible, who is the Lord of all great personalities such as Brahma, and who is available only by transcendental bhakti yoga, that is, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Being extremely subtle, He is beyond the reach of my senses and transcendental to all external realization. He is unlimited, His original cause, and is completely full in everything. I offer my obeisances unto Him. Therefore, Lord says in Bhagavad Gita that only by undivided devotional service that I can be attained. And one can have darshan, direct darshan of the Lord, only by this process of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And one can enter into the mysteries of His understanding. One can fully understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead without a doubt. That's the only process, that is Bhakti Yoga. Undivided, unmotivated devotional service to the Lord. Anya Abhilasha Darshanam. Hare Krishna. So we will stop here. If anybody has any questions or doubts, clarifications, comments. So, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.